We kind of jumped in to the deep end last week on teaching on demons and things of the spiritual realm on the kind of evil side of things. And somebody told me after the service last week, well, that was brave that you did that. And I was like, well, what do you mean? You know, like, what do you mean it's brave? I mean, we're just preaching a sermon. And they said, you know, that's going to make the devil angry, right? And I was like, well, I guess I hadn't really, really thought about that. How many of you were here last Sunday? Just raise your hand. No judgment if you weren't. How many of you that just raised your hand had a really crappy week? Okay, some of you. Myself included. Like, it was a hard week last week. I think so. And you know, there's a pastor friend of mine. I didn't know that they were doing a similar series right now. They're doing Stranger Things. We're calling ours Ghost Stories. They're doing theirs called Stranger Things, you know, kind of playing off the Netflix series. And man, they went over similar stuff last Sunday, and it just sunk him. And I think what's happening is when we don't, when we inform ourselves and give ourselves power and authority over spiritual things, especially of evil nature, it takes the power and authority away from the devil. And he doesn't like it when we take over his territory. If you're not being attacked, then probably you're not taking any a territory over from Satan. If things are going pretty well for you, good for you. Now get in the fight, all right? Get in the fight, because I said last week, Satan would like nothing more than for us just, I called it, take us out of the game. He takes us out of the game by deception. In particular, last week we talked about ghosts, and 40% of Christians believe in ghosts, 48% of Americans believe in ghosts. that's a lot, especially when ghosts aren't real. The disembodied spirits of dead human beings, it's not a thing, because when we die, we go to paradise or to Hades, heaven or hell. We go there. So we don't hang out here, we're not loose, and we're not haunting houses. That doesn't happen. But what does happen is the devil has his demons to deceive us and look like what we call might be a ghost. And so we turn on our TVs, we watch all these ghost stories, and what it is pure evil coming right into our living rooms, deceiving us and keeping us out of the fight. Okay, I've preached last week's sermon again already. I don't want to do that. But here's what I want to do first, is to try to quickly go through some history of Halloween so that we can be informed, we can put ourselves in the fight, not sequester ourselves with the light off in the living room, hoping no one bangs on our door and hoping no one will trick us if we don't give them a treat. Let's get out in our communities instead, because here's how Halloween got started. All right, we're talking early England and Ireland way, way back, all right? Their farming communities, very rural. They would take their cattle out to the pastures on May the 1st. They would bring them in on November the 1st. They had two seasons. There was growing season, like summer, and then there was winter season, like winter, okay? It's death season. There's growing, there's death. The words that they would use it was Beltane and Samhain. November 1st was the start of death season. The night before November 1st is what? October 31st. All right, they didn't use the word Halloween yet. But that was the night to remember or remark or understand that there is death, right? It's the eve of the first day of death season, winter. All right, the belief was, all right, here's where it gets fishy in our understanding of things. Remember, these are like pagan people not really having an explanation for anything. They believed that those who had died since the last November the 1st, right, for that whole year, those people who had died, their spirits remained on earth. They weren't Christians. They didn't believe, you know, they didn't know. Their spirits remained on earth. They went out to the woods and did their whatever thing. But then they would, those spirits would come back to their homes, and their family members would carve out a turnip to hold the spirit, and they would carry them safely to where they needed to be, which I'm not sure where that is. You know, I don't know where they carried them to, but they would carry this, we know it's an empty turnip, but for them it was their loved one. In the, they believed in ghosts, right? The disembodied spirits of dead humans. So the spirits returned to the homes, and the kin helped them cross over to the land of the dead. They would hollow out those turnips and gourds to carry them to the proper locations. Now, but in their belief, not just good spirits, the spirits of their loved ones, were around and active. They also believed they were evil spirits around. They were bad ones on the loose. And witches and goblins also roamed the earth. So to protect their loved one in the turnip, they would paint a scary face on the side of the turnip to scare away all the evil spirits that would be around. And to play it safe, they would paint their faces and don really scary costumes to scare away the evil. Does that make sense? Kind of see some, I don't know, historical linkage to where we are now. There was also this other thing, fairies. Fairies were also loose on the eve of Samhain. It's not, you know, they're not real fairies. It's just what they believed, okay? Fairies weren't evil. They weren't good. They were just fairies. They liked to reward good deeds, but they didn't like to be crossed, okay? You didn't want to mess with them. And so on this night, the fairies would disguise themselves as beggars, go door to door asking for handouts, all right? Those who gave them food were rewarded. Those who did not got what we would call a trick played on them. Something bad would happen to them at that house. All right, so do you see some links there? All right. Now, bonfires. We see bonfires, or we all, maybe even you all do, like I think some of our, last weekend one of our kids went to a party and they had a bonfire, you know? Well, it's got some historical things to it. In Ireland, they would allow all the household fires to go out, and then they would build a bonfire in the town square or in the city someplace, and they would each take a piece of that fire back to their hearths and light their fires for the rest of the year. There's nothing evil about that. That's just, that was a communal experience that they would do. Now, in Scotland, it got a little fishier because they said you could see your future by staring into the fire. So it's a little strange there. Jack-o'-lanterns. People in England and Ireland, we already know, they carved out turnips, beets, potatoes, anything they could use to hollow out and make a lantern out of it. Not just on Halloween, though. This was all the time, because it was cheaper than actually buying a metal lantern or having anything else when they had nothing. They had a potato. You hollow that out and put your wick and your wax in there. And you can light your house with that. But there's an Irish legend, a guy by the name of Jack. He apparently could not enter heaven because he was a miser, and he couldn't enter hell either because he'd played jokes on the devil. And so Jack was a damned soul, doomed to wander the darkness until judgment day, and he would have this lamp, right? All right. The Christianization of it, though, let's talk about that. In AD 43, so probably 10 years-ish after Jesus died, the Roman Empire conquered the Celts, living, and they all lived together. And so this Celtic festival of Samhain was celebrated at the same time as Pomona, a Roman celebration of the harvest. So you have two cultures coming together. You've got this Celtic thing of this, you know, like I've just described, this Samhain, and then now the Romans coming in with Pomona. Over 500 years then together, I think we're talking a long time here. America hasn't even been alive that long. Like 500 years, the two celebrations come together as one. But by then, though, the Catholics had kind of taken control. Pope Gregory strengthened the Catholic Church, and most of Europe, the British Isles, had been converted. Then Pope Boniface IV wanted to remove pagan ceremonies from the culture so that the church could have more control and authority over the people. so they decided to replace all the festivals with new church festivals rather than getting rid of them altogether. So All Saints Day came around. It became a holy day, but not a festival, so the people celebrated both of them together, and they didn't get rid of them at all. 200 years after that, the church still had not succeeded in getting rid of this pagan holiday. So Pope Gregory III, he had a new idea. He's going to change the rules so that All Saints Day fell on the same day as Samhain. So he put it on October the 31st. To celebrate All Saints Day, then, young men were to go door-to-door begging for food for the poor. So they would knock on doors, beg for food, and take it to the poor. Villagers could dress up as their favorite saint. You know, they could dress up as these church characters. So instead of dressing up to scare away evil spirits, now you're dressing up to honor the saints that has gone before. Then for like 700 years after that, the church felt like it had won the battle because the Celts celebrated All Saints Day. However, the Celts thought they had won because they still had their holiday with the original ceremonies. They still did all the same things before. Neither realized that they're just kind of being blended into one holiday together. And by the 1500s, you couldn't separate the two. And by this time, it had even changed names. All Saints Day was now All Hallows Day. The night before that would be Hallows Eve, All Hallows Evening, or simply Halloween. All right, so it just kind of blended all together. A word about witches, since we're so scared about witches and stuff. So the church then branded the Druids as evil, and their practices were looked at as witchcraft because of what they were doing. So the followers of the old religion of Druid thing, they were persecuted, they driven into hiding, they were branded as witches, and then they were told that they were worshiping Satan. So then October 31st became their holiday, which they actually had four throughout the year, and it was called the Witches' Sabbath by witch hunters, and eventually those European witches celebrate October 31st as one of their four things. So once the practice of Samhain became evil or viewed as satanic, then it was just a self-fulfilling prophecy. Practitioners of the old religion began associating with satanic elements of Halloween. And so you can see that in traditions that still carry over today in these very simple things. What do we use to decorate? What colors? If you want to have a party, you're gonna get black crepe paper, right? And maybe red or orange, which are those medieval colors that they associated with Satan. Or spiders. Decorate with a large spider. That was one of the devil's followers. Many of you would agree that spiders are like, I would say snakes myself. But and then the black cat. Christians in the medieval and mid-ages believed that every witch had a personal demon sent by Satan who gave them powers. And that personal demon was actually called a familiar. The familiars which lived with their witches usually existed in the form of an animal, and that was usually a black cat. So we have one, like, at our house, and she is evil. I'm kidding, of course. Shadow's awesome. The Reformation. So this was true, by the way. On Halloween Day, October 31st, 1517, Martin Luther began trying to reform the Catholic Church. His result was the Protestant Church, Lutheranism, long church history there. The followers of that tradition didn't believe in saints. So if you don't believe in saints, then there's no All Hallows Day, right? You're not doing this All Saints Day thing. And not having that meant no Halloween. So the Celts themselves, the Irish people, never gave up a party without a fight, right? So if you're going to take our All Hallows Day, they actually changed it to November the 5th, which was Guy Fawkes Day. Guy Fawkes was a player in the Catholic plot to blow up the English Parliament, which was Protestant, so they started celebrating that instead. They did all the same things, only except on November the 5th. But over here in America, getting bored yet? In America, the Puritans, we know this history, right? Puritans came over from England. They did not bring Halloween with them because they wanted nothing to do with anything that remotely looked like Catholicism. So, in fact, actually, they didn't want to have anything to do with anything that remotely looked like fun. So all celebrations were canceled. No more Christmas. They could throw you in prison, kick you out of the community, or even execute you if you celebrated some of those old Catholic traditions. So they had none of those things as part of what they were doing. And besides, after the Revolution, people were so spread out, the population was so thin, they couldn't get together very often anyway. Eventually, after a while, this idea thing called the Autumn Play Party came around. Basically, children from school would dress up in costumes representing various things. They would put on a play of some sort. Eventually, they started having parties like dancing, singing, feasting, having bonfires. And then that carried on for time. Industrial Revolution came along, and those things just kind of faded away. By the end of the Civil War, only Episcopalians and Catholics celebrated Halloween. And they represented about 5% of the population. So it was very small. They didn't want to lose their heritage, so they campaigned to have Halloween placed on the printed calendars that would be out there. And then once they were published, it made the national news, what they had at the time. It made the papers, people covered it. Oh, look, there's Halloween. What is this thing? It generated a lot of interest in the Protestants. And suddenly, Halloween was on the books for the United States of America. And then in the late 1800s, nearly 7.4 million immigrants came over from Europe. 700,000 of them were Irish Catholics during the potato famine. So they brought with them all of this European culture, all of these celebrations that they had with them coming from Europe and Ireland in particular. And when they arrived, they saw, we don't grow turnips, we grow pumpkins. So we start to take the pumpkin. It's a lot easier to carve than a turnip. You can make the face out of it. The jack-o'-lanterns start to come from the pumpkin. In 1921, in Anoka, Minnesota, they celebrated the first official citywide observation of Halloween with a pumpkin bowl, a costume square dance, and two parades. And then after that, it didn't take Halloween long to go nationwide. New York celebrated in 1923, LA in 1925. And by then, not only had the jack-o'-lanterns replaced the turnip, but the disguised fairies begging door-to-door had become trick-or-treat. People took the trick-or-treat pretty seriously. They actually did the trick. And so it got pretty rough. It wasn't a children's holiday. This was for grown people that had a strong will to live. So the Boy Scouts of America actually campaigned to make it a children's holiday where the children would go out and receive candy instead of food things, you know, instead of other things, and there would be no tricks, all right? So it was actually, really was the Boy Scouts that started that. Now fast forward all the way to today. Estimated 8.8 billion with a B, billion dollars to be spent on Halloween. 500 million of that on your pets' costumes. Come on, people. Surely we can find a better use for $500 million. We could use some of that here. Anyway, so how do Christians respond to Halloween? You hear just about every take you possibly can on it. Christians will say, Halloween's the most dangerous day of the year when Satanists and witches snatch children off the streets and sacrifice them in Satan's name. Yeah, that does sound really scary. I'm not putting my child out in that. Or there's going to be razor blades in the Reese cups. I'm passing out Reese cups later. As far as I know, there's no razor blades in the Reese cups. We don't worship other gods or honor the dead on Halloween. Halloween is nothing but a secular time of fun and games. It's just an excuse for kids to dress up and overload on sugar. That's one response. I love to see the children out in the neighborhood walking the streets with their parents in their funny costumes, having a wonderful time, and mocking the devil with laughter. There's another take on Halloween. Let me offer just an opinion on all this. Three quick points, really. I think as Christians, we're to do these things probably all the time. But let's do this here on, what day is it? Thursday? Is Halloween Thursday? Number one, abstain from the satanic elements. Abstain from cultic and satanic elements. Deuteronomy 18:11 says, There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, one who uses divination, one who practices witchcraft, one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who casts a spell, or a medium, or a spiritist, one who calls up the dead. Don't mess with that stuff, all right? Just stay away from that. That's what I tried to say last week, like, don't bring out the Ouija boards, and don't go looking for those open doors to deception, especially. I try to point out here the full history behind Halloween. It's not all evil, but some of it kind of is. Don't mess with that stuff. I think Halloween, and probably any other day, is as evil as you want to make it. You want to make it evil? You can. I mean, it can be horrible. Just stay away from that stuff. You can make it actually quite a joyful experience, too. We have a tradition. We just go down to the neighborhood down from ours and hang out with some friends. We actually light a fire. We don't look into it for our futures, you know. We just pass out the candy and see the kids and see, oh, yeah, you guys are growing up. It's probably a little too old to be trick-or-treating now. But we have a good time with it. It's as evil as you want to make it. I think in recent decades, there has been some recapturing of satanic elements. I think there have been some Satanists who have claimed it as a holy day for them. We should never seek to know the future through horoscopes, divination, astrology. We shouldn't seek to talk to or call up the dead. We should not pray to other gods. We should not seek power over other people by using spells or supernatural forces. The practice of pagan witchcraft is prohibited in the Old and New Testaments. And if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, I'm just telling you, don't do it. Don't, okay? You can say, yeah, I'm not going to practice divination this week, Dave. Tell me that. Okay, good. Thank you. We're just to submit to God and resist the devil, not form an alliance with him. All right, number two. Enjoy the benign, non-satanic elements. Is that what that says? Enjoy the good, fun, wholesome parts. Enjoy it. Matthew 6:27-31. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. From anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. You know, hopefully you're going to be out there passing out candy, even to maybe people who've said something negative about you or to you. You smile, you pass out that candy, and you love on them despite those things. October 31st is simply a date on the calendar. Originally for the Celtic people, it was like their new year, right? That would be like our December 31st. So it's as evil as you want to make it. And most holidays like Christmas and Easter, they also contain pagan elements. Maybe I should do sermons on the history of Christmas and Easter and blow your minds with that when those times come around. Christians must discern from one to the other whether it's evil or if it's good and make the decision that to glorify God and cause no harm to other people, then that's okay to do. Doesn't harm your personal walk with Christ. Again, there are some superstitious things about Halloween out there that are pagan. There are some neutral elements. You know, costumes are a neutral thing. Let me qualify that, though. There are some costumes that are really horrible. Be judicious about what you wear or what your kids wear. If you're a young lady, not every costume needs to be the sexy thing, you know? You can be a nurse. You don't have to be the sexy nurse, you know? Be careful and be modest with yourselves, your children, and don't be dangerous with them. Does that make sense? But otherwise, it's neutral. Some things are good. Some things are bad. Some things are neutral. Some things are good. Asking for candy, begging, that's fun. It's good. The Boy Scouts did it. And if the Boy Scouts did it, it must be okay. Just kidding. All right. Here's a quote I want to share with you. W.J. Bethencourt III. Each Christian must decide for themselves whether dressing up in funny clothes or asking for candy from the neighbors is satanic or not. Allowing your children to dress up as mass murderers and villains from the Hollywood slasher movies may or may not be satanic, but it's certainly stupid. Making such creatures objects of hero worship might not be giving the kind of message to children that necessarily enables them to become productive adults and redeeming our time together. So, it's interesting that much of the association with witchcraft and satanic elements has actually come from Christian attempts to demonize the holiday. We've done it to ourselves and to other people. The original Celtic observance wasn't necessarily or intentionally satanic to start with, but our Christian hype tends to overreact to the benign elements of Halloween. And the last one. Be positive without fear. Be positive without fear. 1 John 4:4, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, for the one who is in you is greater than the one who's in the world. So if you're concerned about evil associations with Halloween, you can rejoice that you can resist the devil and he will flee from you, and that through the cross, Christ has disarmed principalities and powers and made a public spectacle of him triumphing over them. We can use this holiday to affirm our own confidence in who we are. We're believers in Jesus Christ, and greater is he that is in me than he who is in the world. We can also use this holiday, if you have children in the home or grandkids, teach them, use this. You can say All Saints Day. It's okay to remember those who have gone before us that have lived a life of faithfulness. That's okay. It's good. Holding oneself apart from the world can be a good thing if we need to stay away from temptation. But sometimes it's just an excuse because we're afraid. It's afraid because maybe we're too weak to be able to encounter. We're reminded to be in the world and sent to the world, as well as being not of the world. So there's very few times, aside from the Amazon delivery person, that people come to your door. And they come to you. And this is your opportunity to give them something. Give them something good. Buy the big ones. I'm just kidding. Don't just give them a tract. How many remember the tracts? Don't just say, I'll pray for you. Don't turn your light off and just leave it alone. Give them something good. And at the end, give them a God bless you. And maybe God will bless them. Stay away from anything that compromises your faith or brings dishonor to Jesus, but look for ways to become a positive Christ-proclaiming voice in the midst of our secular pagan world. Let's pray. God, we thank you that we have an opportunity this week, that we have a chance to be your church in the world that you created, that we have a chance to love on neighbors and children and celebrate this cultural festivities and just be a part of the fabric of our community. And people are going to come to our doors so that we can do it. So God, may we leave from here an empowered people. We're not afraid of Halloween. We're not afraid of demonic work, even if you give it, not you, even if they try to give us a crappy week because of it. So empower us, enable us, and give us the strength, the courage, and the confidence to be your people wherever we go. Be with all the children and families who will be out this week. Keep them safe. Be with our schools. I think that the activity of evil is more ripe during this time of year, and especially right now. So protect us, protect our communities, bring peace in our midst. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have candy for you to take, and I hope you take not just one. You can take one for you, all right? Take one for you because it's delicious. I'm sharing with you my favorite candy, which is Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. There's no razor blades in them. And I would want you to take one for you, take one or two for your kids or whatever, but take some to pass out to other people. If you don't have any, take some, and God bless you this week, and enjoy the festivities.